Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba.
Hi, Mark DeLuzio with Lean 911, episode 63. We're going to talk about how compensation systems can kill a lean transformation. I've got a lot of questions about compensation systems, and in particular, I have one from all the way from Finland. A colleague of mine, Arturi, I hope he says last name correctly, Hakanmäki from Finland. He's a production director for a company called Casco, and he wrote to me. He's a fan of the podcast and has listened to most of my episodes, and had this question on compensation, and said he couldn't really find all that much out there on this as it relates to how to do compensation in a lean environment. And coming from a finance background, also having served on the compensation committee for a public board, a New York Stock Exchange corporation, compensation is kind of a big deal, and it's not that easy to align behaviors with the right compensation systems, or maybe I should say compensation systems with the right behaviors. So let's first talk about, in general, the types of compensation that we look at, or maybe you should talk about the type of measures that we ask people to adhere to in a corporation, and somehow tie compensation to these metrics as what we call key performance indicators. Most of the time, coming out of a traditional environment, the measures that we use as to how we define success in a traditional environment are quite the opposite when it comes to a lean environment. And really thinking about lean principles, the principle of just in time, the principle of safety first, quality, delivery, and cost. So many companies today, even the ones that are touting that they have these great lean programs, are still operating on the mantra of cost, 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 not safety, quality, delivery, cost. And that's a hierarchy. That's not a list. That's a hierarchy. Each one higher is more important than the one below it. But so many companies are still focused on cost. Big corporations, multi-billion dollar corporations, that all they look at is cost. And remember, I've talked a lot about this in past episodes. Cost is a lagging indicator. It's kind of like looking at the scale and you want to lose weight. Well, yeah, you need to check that. But what are the real drivers? What are the leading indicators to drive your weight? It's calories. It's how much sleep you get. It's exercise. It's all those kind of things. Nutrition, all that stuff, right? It's the same thing with cost. Cost typically is a lagging indicator, and it's reflective of how well you have engineered your processes and how well your organization is adhering to those processes. It has to do with your level of quality, your cost of poor quality. It has to do with all these things. So many times we're looking at the lagging indicators and tying those to compensation systems. Now, let me start by saying what I've learned from my friends at Toyota is that a line leader, for example, does not get measured on output as much as he's getting measured, or she, on how well they've trained their people to solve problems. You want to talk about a real leading indicator? That's it, okay? How many companies out there do that? How many companies measure people on performance with output, with results, with bottom line results, with financial measures, with all that? So I will just go through a few. And this is what led me to invent what we now call lean accounting. This was, I did this in 1989, working for George Koenigsaker and Art Byrne at Danaher's Jake Break, where DBS got its start. And as you know, I went on to be the principal architect of the Danaher business system. But when I grew up in cost accounting, I worked for companies like Lego. I worked for a typewriter company. Some of you young guys out there are looking at that saying, what's a typewriter, right? Royal Typewriter. Of course, they're out of business. I worked for a blasting products company. I worked for a hardware company that made builder's hardware. And I was a pretty darn good cost accountant, you know, and especially at Lego. I really learned from a really great leader at Lego cost accounting. But when I started going to Japan, George Koenigsaker and Art Byrne sent me to Japan on my first trip, and I started learning the concept of what we now call lean. I came back and said, you know what? The stuff that we're measuring with traditional cost accounting and standard cost and efficiencies and variance analysis and all of this are just driving the wrong behaviors, okay? Now, I'm going to get to compensation in a minute. You're probably saying, hey, wait, Mark, you're losing sight on what the objective here is. But it's important to talk about the types of measures we expect from our people, because most of the time those measures are tied back somehow to some type of compensation schematic, right? So let's talk about that. I'll go out on a limb and say, we do not conduct our personal life the way we conduct ourselves in business. Or maybe I should say it this way, the way we're asked to conduct ourselves in business, okay? For example, push manufacturing. I'm going to make a bunch of stuff and just jam it down the throats of the next department. You wouldn't allow your grocery store to do that, would you? I don't think so. You go to the grocery store and you pull off the shelf, right? Now, by the way, if you don't know this, the whole idea of Kanban and supermarket was devised by Tadashi Ono when he came to the United States after the war, World War II. He saw our form of supermarkets in a supermarket called Piggly Wiggly. I think it was in Detroit. And he came over and benchmarked the U.S. and looked at the Ford production line and all that. But he saw this thing and that's how come sometimes Kanban is called a supermarket. Because Ono saw how people would pull off the shelf and then it was replenished. So there's that pull system concept where you're not delivering stuff to the next department when they don't call for it. Kanban's all about the signal, right? So you won't accept that. You won't go out and buy 6 months worth of groceries because you've saved on volume discount. You might do that in a short term, maybe buy an extra stuff that you know you're going to use, but you don't do it in bulk like we do in companies today. So the whole concept of purchase price variance to a standard cost is just not something we do in our daily lives, okay? Uptime. I talked about, you know, operational effectiveness for our equipment, OEE, right? And percentage uptime. I had a CEO tell me one time, or CFO tell me one time, we run that equipment because we paid a lot of money for it and we got to get our utilization out of that equipment. And you probably heard the story before, but I went out to ask him. I said, hey, you know, geez, you just bought a brand new Lexus. You paid a lot of money for that. Do you want to get utilization out of your Lexus by when you go home tonight, you're going to drive it around the block 100 or 200 times just to get quote unquote utilization? And he looked at me and said, why would I do that? I said, I don't know. I wouldn't do it, but you're doing it here in your own company, forcing your people to run the equipment, not changing over when they need to, not doing preventive maintenance on the equipment. You're forcing the wrong behaviors by asking for that measure. And oh yeah, by the way, I'd love to come down to the bank with you to see how you can deposit return on investment. I'd love to see you do that. Okay. That caused them to build in batch, They weren't changing over. Their customer service and on-time delivery went the heck. They were losing customers, all because of a compensation number. That's how they pay their people in the factory. All the wrong measures, okay? We don't do that in daily life. We would not run equipment unnecessarily, okay? How about your car? How about when your oil leaks in your car? What do you do? Put Speedy Dry down on your driveway or in your garage? No. You take it to the mechanic, you get it fixed. You know darn well if your oil is leaking in your car, your equipment, your engine is not going to run. You're going to have wear and tear on your engine, and the life of your car is going to be diminished. Why do we look the other way in a factory when there's oil all over the place? I was just in a factory not too long ago, and boy, I tell you, you could have just skated across the floor. There was so much oil, and the oil was in the air. People were breathing it. It was a safety hazard because of slippage. It also meant the equipment was being deteriorated by running on less lubricants than was required. And oh yeah, by the way, when that happens, you end up producing poor quality product. It all ties together, okay? Again, we won't do that in our daily lives. We won't do a barbecue with large batches of hot dogs when we're serving hot dogs and hamburgers. We'll put hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill at the same time. Why? Because we want our customers, which are our guests, to eat together. Some people want hamburgers. Some people want hot dogs. We don't produce that way, do we? That's not how we produce. So I'm measuring on equipment uptime, and I'm going to make my customers who want hamburgers take hamburgers. But if I look at an order, there's probably hamburgers and hot dogs on the same order. And I'm going to upset somebody because I'm trying to be efficient, okay, and have this magical thing called uptime. Absorption, the same thing. When CFOs say, build more inventory, capitalize those costs into inventory, the labor and overhead costs. It improves our profitability, okay? We just don't work that way in real life. So I want to bring these type of things to the forefront of thinking about, we run our lives pretty well in a very common sense fashion. The behaviors we expect in business are not that common sense, especially in coming off a traditional business system and moving into a lean environment. So what ends up happening is those measures get tied to people's compensation, and they're all wrong. Okay. They're driving the wrong behaviors. Okay. Now I'm going to go back to the Danaher business system, because as we started the Danaher business system, we first called it the Danaher production system. And I've talked about this before in subsequent on previous episodes, but we changed the name to the Danaher Business System. Why? Because we said to ourselves, you know, we know darn well there's all kinds of waste in the functions, in marketing, in HR, in finance, in engineering, and all the other IT, all these functions. We have all this different waste. So why can't we apply the Danaher Business System to those functions? And sure enough, those functions have waste in them. I'm sure you know darn well. You know, if it takes 3 months to recruit a candidate, if it takes, if you have all kinds of errors in accounts payable, if you have payroll errors, if you have order entry errors, if it takes too long to get a quote to the customer and you lose the order, there's all kinds of things you could be looking at. Long lead times in new product development, right? Rework loops in new product development, all those type of defects. So that, yeah, there's waste everywhere. So that's the reason we changed the name to the Danaher Business System. However, once I brought policy deployment, which we also call Hoshin Kanri, Hoshin Planning, I call it strategy deployment. But at Danaher, it's still called today policy deployment, and they're still using it. We learned that to do breakthrough, you need to be looking at a cross-functional endeavor. I have not yet met a breakthrough. As a matter of fact, I haven't even met a problem that doesn't require multifunctional involvement. So when it comes to compensation, I want to compensate that multifunctional team all the same way. So everybody has a vested interest in the not only the objective and the result, but the process, if you're doing this right, the process that drives the result, okay? Because policy deployment, strategy deployment, OSHIN, it's all about creating processes that perform at a breakthrough level that you end up relegating into daily management. And when you come in on Monday and turn on the switch and hit the green button, your business is running at a breakthrough level. You don't need a huge, monstrous effort to run at that level. Okay, that's the whole essence of strategy deployment, policy deployment. Well, in order for that to work, I've got to compensate the team the same way. So if I have an engineer, somebody from marketing, somebody from finance, somebody from human resources, all on the same team, as an example, or manufacturing, whatever, they should all be compensated the same way, okay, as a team. Now, part of the problem with policy deployment is, and I've seen this mistake made quite a bit, is the compensation systems are calibrated so that your 1.0 factor means that you hit 100% of your breakthrough. And I think that's wrong. So let's just argue for a minute that your budget, let's say, if there is such a thing, is calibrated on 50%. And your breakthrough is 100%. And your budget has a little bit of Kaizen, a little bit of improvement from the last year. Maybe last year it was at 40, okay, 45. I don't want to penalize somebody who doesn't hit 100 if, let's say, they hit 75. So what we would do is we would actually establish a 1.0 payout at, let's say, in this example, the 75% level of the breakthrough, which we know is better than our business plan, our budget, what we go to the street of. Your public company, whatever you go to the street with, you don't go to the street with your breakthrough. You don't go to the street with your strategy deployment performance. You go with a reasonable, aggressive, you know, Kaizen type financial plan, but you don't go to the street with the breakthrough. Now, if I hit 75% of that breakthrough, that is a good day. And I want to reward people for that, because what you don't want to do is have people sandbag the metric. Maybe their 100% would be that 75, and you don't want that, right? I mean, there's a catchball process here that would end up, you know, hopefully, you know, sorting all this out, but you don't want to penalize people for not hitting 100% of the breakthrough, because by definition, you shouldn't hit 100% of your breakthroughs. You're really trying to stretch yourself, right? So if I got 75, 80, 85% of a breakthrough, that's a good day. That's a real good day if I calibrate it correctly. But again, I want that cross-functional team to be able to be compensated all the same way, okay? Okay, I want to talk to you about a case study where dysfunctional metrics cause all kinds of problems with a particular client of mine. There's a mining company I was working with. And in this case, it was an iron ore mine. And I was attending their daily Gemba meetings. And like most meetings, most Gemba board meetings, you're looking at lagging indicators. And nobody really has the guts to say that these meetings are not making any sense and they're not adding any value. Otherwise, you'll be called out as a naysayer, and you don't want that, right? So this one individual, there are about 20 people standing around in front of this Gemba board. And this one individual, he made a presentation, and he said, we missed our daily production yesterday of iron ore. We should have been X, and we only did Y. And it's been an ongoing problem. And that was it. We missed our production. So I asked a question. I was just a visitor, but I asked a question. I said, would you be able to tell us the one or two reasons why you missed the production? He says, yes. The fuel injectors on our trucks are failing. Oh, okay. Are we measuring that? Because that's almost more of a leading indicator than a lagging indicator. Like iron ore tons is more like the end result. It's the lagging indicator. So I said, are you measuring fuel injector failures? And he said, no. But we just know they're failing all over the place. So we started looking at this thing and started using a very simple tool called Pareto, which is my favorite problem-solving tool, by the way. It was also Dr. Duran's favorite problem-solving tool when I asked him one time, what's your favorite problem-solving tool? He said, it would have to be, or quality tool. He said, it would have to be the Pareto since I named it, and I invented it. So anyway, and by the way, his least favorite was QFD. He thought it was too complex. Anyway, I digress. So I said, why don't we start collecting data? Okay, first of all, they had two fundamental types of trucks. They had Komatsu and Caterpillar. These trucks had various types of engines. So we did a Pareto based on trucks. We did a Pareto based on engines. We did a Pareto of failures based on the drivers, based on shifts, based on the geography of the mine, because maybe that had something to do with it. Okay. We did a Pareto based on even which maintenance person was changing out these injectors. We looked at the supplier of the injectors, of the fuel injection units. And we looked at all kinds of other characteristics. And we kind of threw the Paretos up on the wall and we let the Pareto diagrams talk to us. Okay. And what came out was 90%+ of the failures were from fuel injectors, and it didn't matter which truck and which engine, were fuel injectors that were coming from a Chinese supplier. They were not original OEM parts. They were coming from a Chinese supplier. And as we looked into it, there was another department in this company that was responsible for procuring maintenance parts, of which one of them being fuel injectors. And they were incentivized based on cost. And oh yeah, by the way, the Chinese fuel injectors were a heck of a lot less in cost than the original OEM parts. So here's a case where the OEM fuel injectors were not failing, nowhere near the frequency of the Chinese supplied parts. And by the way, we also looked at maintenance schedules. Are we changing out these injectors frequent enough to make sure they're not getting clogged, and you know, based on the environment and all that? And that wasn't the biggest issue. That wasn't an issue at all. As a matter of fact, these fuel injectors were the ones that were causing the problems. Now, here you had one department that was getting compensated on saving the company all kinds of money. But on the other hand, the company was missing their production objectives. So what money is really being saved here? So do you see how compensation drives the wrong behaviors if it's calibrated the wrong way. Right? And I've seen this one example I'm giving you, I've seen 1,000 times. 1,000 times. I've seen a situation with a client where the company was trying to do a Junko level scheduling with standard work. We had it all set up, one piece flow. And at the end of the quarter, the sales guys needed to make their sales bonus. So they went to their customers and incentivized them by reducing the heck out of price. Now, remember, those customers were being incentivized by purchase price variance too. And they knew that. So they discounted the heck out of the product, forced them to take the product early, okay, which violates just-in-time principles, by the way. Again, I'm going back to lean principles here, right? And cause all kinds of overtime, expediting, and all that because the sales compensation program was based on shipments, not on orders, but on shipments. So the company worked like crazy, incurred all kinds of extra costs. So on one hand, the cost was increased to get that product out. The top line was reduced because they discounted the heck out of the product. They normally wouldn't have to do that. Okay. And the sales guys got their bonuses. So I said to the CEO, hey, your sales guys won, but your enterprise lost because your profitability was impaired. And oh yeah, by the way, the next quarter, they had no orders for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And they had to lay people off, which I advised them not to do, but they did. Okay. So they caused all that consternation. You know, we talk about Muda as being the seven wastes, but there's Mira and Miri, right? Mira being unevenness, which this caused, and Miri being overburdening, unreasonableness, whatever you want to call it, right? So here's an example where a compensation system drove the wrong behaviors. You know, one of the things I think you have to remember, if your compensation systems and your measures do not marry up with lean principles, you're going to run into problems. I can guarantee you, you're going to run into problems. Because you know and I know that any one measure, give me one, I'll get it for you. I may leave a lot of problems in the wake, but I'll get that measure for you. You want productivity? I'll get your productivity. Okay? You want really good quality? I'll get you good quality. You won't know it, but I'll get you good quality. Okay? So let's go back to the principle of safety, quality, delivery, and cost. So many of these measures are driving back to cost and compromising things like quality, safety, quality, and delivery to the customer, which are higher on the food chain. All right? So your compensation and your KPIs in general have to be in concert with lean principles. All right? Always ask yourself, what are the principles that could be violated with this measure? Now, look, there's no perfect measure. You could probably argue any one measure by itself is going to, could have its problems, right? However, looking at them in total, you should be driving the right behaviors as an organization. And I will say this, whenever you try to optimize a single function, you will most certainly suboptimize the enterprise. So think about that way. And I want to go back to the policy deployment, the strategy deployment concept I used earlier that said the entire team all gets compensated with the same targets, the same goals, the same compensation. Okay. Because all of these breakthroughs are all multifunctional in nature. All right. So keep that in mind. I hope this helps. Arturi, thanks for the question out of Finland. I appreciate it. Let me know how this was for you. Probably didn't answer all your questions, but I just want to give you my perspective on how compensation systems can really drive the wrong behaviors. And by the way, this is where your chief financial officer needs to be on board in your human resource department. They need to be on board. They can't come in with traditional thinking as to how people get compensated. Because if they do, you will fail. Okay, you will fail. So hopefully this is helpful for you. If there's any questions, let me know. Write to me at mark@lean911.com and love to get back to you and get your thoughts. And if anybody has any other ideas on this, please feel free to let me know. And I'll be happy to broadcast those on a future episode and let people know what some of the best practices are out there as well. Okay. Episode 63, How Compensation Systems Can Kill a Lean Transformation. Thanks everybody for tuning in and stay lean.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.